This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek back in the studio in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 15th, episode 1852, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
Oh, I just need to hear more. I just need the whole thing. Oh my gosh. What an inspiration. How bad do we need to hear that right now?
Yeah, especially right now. And, you know, I got to say that, I've been spending more time with Jemmy, who obviously is black, and been hearing from her side of things, you know, about how things have improved and how they have not. But I've also been able to witness it as we've been out together doing things. I think there's probably more acceptance than there has been in the past. You know, even the two of us together, you know, this older white guy and this young black girl out together, and we joke about it sometimes because we get stares and people are probably wondering, you know, what we're doing. But it's been interesting to see it from a different point of view than I am used to seeing it as.
And in the white guy way.
Yeah. And seriously, it has been an eye-opener for me, and to see that there still is racism out there, and we see it when we go places. And I don't know if it's because the two of us are together, you know, and, you know, we're carrying microphones around together and doing stuff together like that, or just, you know, eating lunch together. It's been an interesting experience for me culturally. And it's been very interesting hearing it from her point of view and her family's point of view and seeing it from that way. And it's just been an interesting experience for me.
Well, everybody, happy MLK Day. It's just an amazing, it was just such an, being from Atlanta, I feel like,
oh yeah.
We took field trips to Martin Luther King's birthplace and you know, where he had speeches, and it just, to me, that I think especially this year, that this day means something even more than it did to me any other year. So at any rate, you guys go. Hug a stranger. How about that? Hug a stranger day.
Well, we're going to be doing a show today. It's good to be back. I'm back in the studio today. And Jennifer.
Did you have a good time?
She didn't divorce me, so I guess I'm okay. So I could still, I didn't have to sleep on the couch last night.
I think the painful part, Glenn,
was posting pictures of big boats.
If you were Chad, you know, like he's gone and I'm like working my butt off and doing his job and then taking care of all the animals and blah, 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 blah. I would have been so pissed with the hotel room view of the pool that you posted. Like, that's just like, hello, wound. Here's some salt.
But the thing is, I think she rather would have stayed home and went fox hunting like she did, even though apparently her horse bounced the entire way.
Hey, but you did get to go fox hunting. You're off the table here. Jennifer, how was fox hunting?
Yeah. Fox hunting was awesome.
Oh my gosh.
Fox hunting was awesome, but as Glenn said, there was no walking. We were out for 3.5-4 hours. And as we were finally walking back to the trailers, the last 30 minutes, the group had broken up, so to speak. So we were just literally walking home. And I got permission from the master of my field to let Nigel walk in front of her, because that's the only time he walked. In 3.5 hours, that's the only time. until we got there, it was jig sideways, jig left, jig right, canter, jig left, jig right, canter. So, yeah, when we got done, got home, and when I got out of the truck, it was an hour and a half drive home, my knees buckled because my legs were so tired.
It's like, and I need an ice pack and some powder. Oh, well, that's great. You got out there and did it. That's fantastic. So let's see. What are we doing on today's show?
What are we doing on today's show? On today's Omega Alpha Equine Happy MLK Day, we're going to speak with Christine Strasburger, who is, I think, a horse girl, look, judging from things, who makes these really crazy cool skirts that you see folks using in costume classes and traditional Western classes. And she's going to come on and tell us how she makes them, why she makes them, and the unique setup of her business. And then after the song, we're going to have a little bit of equestrian first world problems to kick up the sarcasm. And of course, because it's Monday, the Wacky World of Horse Nation is here featuring our very own Wiley. So stay tuned for the break.
And rumor has it, there was an Olympian in my neighborhood yesterday.
Ah.
And we might hear from said Olympian in my neighborhood. What? You live in the West Valley, Phoenix, Arizona, where literally it's all Western people. Stop. There was an Olympian in my neighborhood. And I stalked her and I talked to her, and you will hear from her later on in the show. Boom! Mic drop. Yeah! I was so excited. You can hear it.
Well, my daily Winnie is one of these. Have a few people to give happy birthdays to. Our good friend Chrissy Joy, sister-in-law Lynn, his birthday's today as well. Plus, yesterday was Mary Kitzmiller's birthday, of course, host of Horses in the Morning here, and Katie Kelly, one of our auditors. So happy birthday to all of you.
So I don't sleep very much, and if I do sleep, it's not very well. Okay. But so I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning, and your brain just starts racing when you're laying in bed and you're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. It was like a million things on my mind. And of course, when you wake up, most of it doesn't matter. You know, when you get up in the morning, you're like, why was I not sleeping? So the point is, of my little story here, is that I realized at 4 o'clock in the morning that I had not asked the listeners or the auditors for any equestrian first world problems.
I thought I saw that posted pretty early for you. I was going, what is she doing up?
Yeah, that was 4. That was 4 a.m. So I post on our Horses in the Morning auditors page. I'm like, you guys need your first world problems. Poor little babies. Let's hear what you got. And yeah, I've got a whole segment. Thank God they're all Facebook junkies.
I don't think anybody else can sleep either is the problem.
Like, oh.
God, can we just talk for a minute? Just 1 minute.
No.
Did you do your daily Winnie, by the way? Are you done?
That was my daily Winnie of the auditors. Thanks,
all right,
guys.
Good. All right, good. So let's talk a little bit about this Hawaii thing.
About the what?
The Hawaii thing, the false alarm in Hawaii. Okay. How scary would that be?
You need to give us the backstory.
Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Really?
Yeah. I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
Oh, wow. You haven't watched the news in the last 24 hours. So yesterday morning in Hawaii, the alert went out on everybody's phones that there was an incoming missile attack, and this was not a warning. This was real. So it was the public alert system that sends out the incoming missile attack and take shelter. You have 10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You didn't hear about this? It was crazy
news
yesterday.
Dude, I told you what kind of pre-show.
Yeah, that's true.
I told you what day I had yesterday.
So,
right?
So everybody thought there was a nuclear missile coming in. And so they started scrambling. Everybody was driving to shelters. There were people throwing their kids in storm drains to protect them. This was no crap. These people took it seriously. All over the island, there was all these amazing stories I read this morning of what people did when they thought that, you know, that Pearl Harbor was getting nuked. And it was only about, on Twitter, within 5 minutes, they determined it was a false alarm. But the correction only went out like 40 minutes later on people's phones. So it was, and of course, they've been practicing in Hawaii since the whole North Korea thing started. They've been practicing this, and they've been warned, and they've been doing drills and everything. So apparently one guy pressed the wrong button. One public service worker was changing shifts, and apparently the new guy was coming in, and he pressed the wrong button. And that's how this happened. He's being reassigned. He hasn't been fired, but he's being reassigned.
He's been shot.
And now they're doing a two-person system that two people have to be involved with pressing the button now, which is probably a good idea. Because you don't want too many of these false alarms happening. But it was terrifying for everybody that was there.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Wait, that's a wake-up call that you don't want to get. So the public alert system in Hawaii does work. Apparently, everybody's phones, all the things over the highways, everything, you know, that's supposed to send out this announcement and the sirens, everything worked like it's supposed to. But, yeah.
I mean, whew. I read USA Today this morning. I didn't see anything about that. What is wrong with me?
Okay. Yeah, it was all over the news yesterday. And reading some of the accounts, there was an AP reporter who talked about what he did with his daughter and how he's driving out to get over the mountain so he'd be out of the blast zone. And it was just,
here's what I did. Here's my problem is I'm up at 4 a.m. and I read USA Today on my phone, yes, but bad thing is I read USA Today, the entertainment section. See, like,
that's like going to the Daily Mail and looking at the pictures. It's like,
yeah.
So you were at a clinic over the weekend.
Well, I just happened to, it was pretty cool. Kind of got organized rather quickly. There's a girl that lives in Phoenix, a woman in Phoenix, that trains with Holly Bennett. And Holly is based in Southern California at Copper Meadows. And we've talked to the people at Taryn Atkinson from Copper Meadows. And so we have, so she decided to bring Holly here instead of drive all the way out there. So they decided to make a full weekend of it. I could not afford it to ride in the clinic. It was amazingly, it just was with my budget with Galway and some other stuff going on. I'm like, I can tapped out as far as financials, but I can go audit. So I went to audit, and Holly Bennett is every single rider was blown away. So at the end of the whole clinic, she's waiting. She's standing. I hadn't talked to her all day because I like, you know, she's like Holly Bennett and she kind of intimidates me. And so she was standing up waiting for the
You've interviewed her before.
I know, but she still scares me. She's so pretty.
She is pretty. Was Jamal
pretty
there?
She's the a badass.
Jamal, who looks like a Greek god.
Jamal was not there, no. I'm way more comfortable talking to him than I am her. And I have way more in common with her than I do him. I don't know. It's weird. Anyway, so she's standing up there. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. So I went over and I was like, hi, I'm from Horses in the Morning. She was like, oh, yeah, hey. Like, duh, of course. she acted like she knew me, you know, like, made me feel more comfortable.
She's only been on the show several times. We talked to her from her hospital room when she got hurt, remember?
I know all of this, but she might not know all of that. I mean, she's like, you know, does interviews all the time. So I was like, can I just interview for like a minute and a half? She's sure, no problem. She was very nice. And so I...
You were a little tongue-tied in this interview, I gotta say.
I was she's so pretty, and she was standing right next to me, and she's such a badass. I'm like... I don't know. I just got all weird. And so anyway, you can hear my rumbling mess of an interview, and she's so cool. And I'm such a moron. I was like, oh, thank God I didn't have to drive to the airport. I were direct.
So Jamie sends us over and says, are you sure you want to use it? And I thought to myself, you were tongue tied. We're using this because, nothing else to embarrass you. We're using this right now. Here we go.
Oh, great. I can't listen. Or something.
Hey, I am out here in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona with, you know, none other than Holly Bennett. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. So how did you enjoy teaching out here? I was able to come and watch some of the clinics, and just everybody is moved and everybody feels like they had this big, like, big moment of clarity and a lesson with you. So what did you think?
It was awesome. So huge shout out first to Danny Sturt. She's one that organized this, and she's been one of my students for a few years now, and she lives in Arizona. So obviously it's a long trip for her to come to California. It's easier for me to...
Because you're at Copper Meadows now.
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's easier for me to hop on an airplane and come out here, and pleasantly surprised. Really good groups of people, really good horses, super facility, and it's 84 degrees in January, so we can't complain.
Can't beat that. Okay, so I just want to say thank you for donating your time and teaching the Pony Club here for, I mean, these kids are out here in the middle of, I mean, look, honestly, we live on the surface of the moon, okay? So thank you for coming out here and donating your time. How important is it to you working with kids and the future riders?
That's why I do what I do. With that being said, I'll teach anyone that wants to learn, but seeing these kids come out, I mean, immaculately dressed, all matching shirts.
So cute.
But so cute. Perfect ponies, you know? I mean, they're the grassroots of eventing, and if we can get one out of those eight hooked on it, you know, who knows? A future superstar could be in that group. And I still remember when I was growing up, I am Pony Club, I went and rode with David Walling Davies, and I was in awe that I was riding with someone that represented my country at the Olympics. And I still have the shirt he signed for me. I took my sweatshirt off. It had a sparkly unicorn on it. And, you know, he wrote best wishes on the left-hand corner in a purple Sharpie, and I never washed it. Hanging up in my closet at home. You know, like, stuff like that affects people. And if I can inspire one person, I've done my job. If I've inspired more than that, then I'm really good. You know, well, it makes me feel really good about what I do.
You did that today for sure. So will we see Rolex?
That plan A.
Make plans. Don't fall in love with them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's obviously the goal. We have Worlds obviously this year also. And so, yes, I can run her at WAG or not, or run her at Kentucky or not. But I only have the one upper level horse right now. I unfortunately don't have a string of them, so I need the practice. And the mare is, knock on wood, one sound source in the world, and I need to practice on her. And the only way you get better is by practicing. And hopefully we have a great go there, and then I'll head back east to be with my number one coach, Mr. Buck Davidson, and who, you know, he inspires me and gets me going on the right track. And if he's in my corner, I want to go to WAG, hopefully. Obviously that's up to selectors. And if I don't go, I'll be aiming for Poe this fall.
Okay, cool. So international on the horizon, maybe. Well, thank you so much for your time. And I would be remiss if I didn't tell you to tell Kamal we said hi. We love him.
Yeah, thank you so much. Again, like, huge shout out to all the peeps in Arizona. You guys got a good group of people, and hopefully I'll be back soon.
Yeah, that's right. There's an Olympian in the West Valley of Arizona. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Have a good day.
Thanks for doing that.
You did get stuck in the middle there. It was kind of funny because I could tell. I don't know if anybody else could do it. It was like,
well, I honestly got a little emotional because we have a pony club out here that was started by a student of mine's mom, and these guys are trying so hard to make a go of a pony club. And you know, with all, you know how hard that is, especially Jen does. I mean, my gosh, the paperwork.
And most
and
of your riders
in
your area are Western too. That doesn't help.
Yeah. And so they've really worked hard. And do you know, she volunteered her time, like volunteered to teach them, and gave, you know, did like a half hour with each of them and did taught them all to go up and down banks. And it was just really cool. And so I did get a little emotional that she took the time to do that, especially, I mean, these kids, you know, they don't have that opportunity. This is not one of the pony clubs where everybody is, you know, heading to, you know,
yeah, they're not sending under the sun.
Hits.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, they're not going to hits or nationals. So it's a pony club. It's called, anyway, it's really cool. And so it was really sweet of her, and all the kids, as I was saying, they were kind of walking around up behind her, and it was adorable. So thanks, Holly.
Very cool.
I'll be cooler next time. I won't freak out, and I'll actually talk to you before the show. I was done and she was leaving. I was like, oh, yeah, she's leaving. I got 2 seconds. I don't know.
Well, I got a story for you. This is out of New Zealand, or Australia, rather. And they apparently have the same problems we do with the animal rights people. And we've discussed this before, how if your horse is laying down in the field, people stop and come up to the door and say, your horse is dead. You ought to go do something about it. You know, we've had that happen. We've had people wondering why they have masks on their faces.
Why do you blindfold your horses?
Yeah, why do you blindfold your horses? That kind of thing. Well, apparently it's been so hot in Australia. It's their summertime. And it's been so hot that the animal rights people have been going into people's fields and taking, they have fly sheets on. They've been taking the fly sheets off of the horses and throwing them over the fences because it's too hot to have blankets on. So the police, this is the headline of the story in the Tribune in Australia. Police warn against interfering with horses and property. Entering onto another person's property and interfering with animals is an offense. In a social media post, a spokesman says that interfering with horses and people is becoming a big problem in our area with horses wearing rugs in the summer. Police have been made aware that these particular rugs are specifically designed for hot weather. They're for keeping flies off. So, imagine somebody coming into your field and taking your horse's fly sheet off? First of all,
burn it down! Burn it down!
Why do these people never get kicked? That's my question. Why do they never get kicked? Because you and I did that to a strange horse in the field, we'd get kicked.
Better. I mean, you couldn't even catch it.
I don't know. I don't know why this happens. But anyway, so we're not the only ones that have problems with that.
Well, I guess it's well-meaning, and it doesn't seem like it's animal rights people. It's just like a concerned neighbor, I guess. I don't know.
They specifically called out the animal rights people in this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they specifically called. They have a different name for them there, but they specifically called them out in this article. I have another one for you too, if you really want to. And we're just going to do this one.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
That's right. Well, I got my loser of the week, and it's just Monday. It's Monday, but I couldn't resist this being loser of the week. This is also out of New Zealand. Everything's down under right now. There was, you know how at the racetracks they have an ambulance for the horses, a horse ambulance?
Yes.
Well, a woman has been charged with trying to steal the horse ambulance at the Gold Coast Magic Millions races. Guess what was involved?
Oh, no.
Alcohol. Large quantities of alcohol.
No. Wait, somebody who tried to steal an ambulance had been drinking?
Yes, apparently she got in the ambulance and the keys were in it and started driving off. And the police stopped her, but she wouldn't get out. Apparently she wouldn't get out of the ambulance, so they had to like break in to get her out of the ambulance, and she has now been arrested and is awaiting bail. Being really drunk and stealing the horse ambulance, which apparently they unfortunately needed for a horse then later and had to drive the ambulance back to the racetrack for the horse that was in need. But yes, the woman stole the ambulance. So she gets my loser of the week award. They did not name her in the article, which I thought was interesting. So I don't know why they didn't name her. But but maybe curb the drinking. 12-step program would be good for that lady. That was my loser of the week. Hey, we started something new over in Stable Scoop. I don't think we've talked about it on this show or played a sample of it, so I want to do that for everybody. Stable Scoop has restarted now. It was off for a couple months while we were putting the new program together. We're two episodes in, and we're back to weekly here on Stable Scoop, but it's a completely different show. And we're starting every show with kind of the micro, the way I heard it, or the Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. We have a couple of professional writers, including our very own auditor, Biz Stam, who is a writer. And she is one of the writers for these stories, and they're kind of the rest of the story, where you have to figure out who it is till the end, but they're all horse.
That's what I spend the whole time going, okay, who's he talking about? Who is that? Who's he talking about?
Yes. It's all, that's right. And that's what we want you to do, only they're horse or horse people-related stories.
Oh,
and
cool.
I want to play you a sample of one right now that'll give you an idea of what it is, and then you can head over to Stable Scoop. This is going to be the first... It's the first segment of every Stable Scoop show now is one of these stories. So, and then we do a product review and we do some other things, but it's always one of these stories that's going to lead, and they're doing a terrific job writing them. So, and if you have the ability to write and also want to contribute to this, let us know, and we'll have you write some stories too. But here is one of them that came from last week's Stable Scoop episode. You can find it at stablescoop.com. The First of Its Kind by Biz Stamm. Oliver was much like the other stable boys in the late 1800s. He began work around horses at a young age, mucking stalls, grooming, and eventually exercising the powerful thoroughbreds. Spending so much time around the stable at such a young age gave Oliver a sixth sense with horses. But Oliver's employer, Hal McGrath, would never acknowledge his talent. McGrath was a gambling man. And after winning $105,000 in a single night at his New York gambling house, he built McGrathiana Farm, a thoroughbred breeding for the training facility outside of Lexington, Kentucky. McGrath had no love for the horses on his farm or the people who cared for and rode them. In fact, he openly bragged about working both men and horses into the ground. To him, they were not living beings. They were nothing more than cards to stack and dice to roll in pursuit of the big jackpot. Oliver was 19 years old when McGrath assigned him the position as key jockey for a race at a newly opened racetrack. His mount, a chestnut colt with a white star and two hind socks, was one of two entered by McGrath. Despite the colt having an impressive pedigree, he was foaled late in the season, barely breaking 15 hands, and wasn't thought to be much of a contender. But this was horse racing, and anything could happen. The other horse bred by McGrath, an impressive bay colt, was thought to be the stronger of the two horses. It was a beautiful day for a race on May 17th with the perfect conditions promising a lightning-fast track. Oliver arrived at the track to find an enormous throng of spectators in attendance to watch the inaugural running of this stakes race. In the new modern saddling paddock of one of the most beautiful racetracks in the country, the chestnut colt's trainer instructed Oliver to break fast and push the pace of the other 13 horses in the field in order to set McGrath's other horse up from a come-from-behind win. He was called the Rabbit. Oliver did as instructed and broke fast on the small chestnut colt, but as he ducked his head to determine the placement of the rest of the field, he noticed that the impressive bay, the one for who he was setting the pace, had broken quite slowly and was trailing the rest of the field. The little chestnut was unrelenting, and his lead continued to increase. It became clear that the bay had no chance of catching up. Oliver, knowing that his colt was not supposed to be the winning horse, looked to McGrath on the rail for instruction, and McGrath shouted, "Go on!" The small but mighty chestnut colt thundered down the home stretch, holding off the few horses that dared to challenge him. Oliver Lewis and his chestnut colt flew under the wire with a length to spare, winning the very first running of a race that would one day become known as the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. Aristides won the first Kentucky Derby. Despite the fact that Oliver's expert riding played an enormous role in Aristides' win, McGrath took all the credit, claiming that his exclamation, "Go on!" was the sole cause of victory. That's the way it had always been. A slave owner took credit for the accomplishments of his slaves, and while Oliver was technically free, his position in society after generations of oppression meant, much like the chestnut colt he rode to victory, the cards were stacked against him. African-American Oliver Lewis went on to win many more races, but because he was seen as little more than an accessory to the horses he rode and a commodity to his employers, very few records were kept on his life. The records that do exist show that he went on to be a very successful jockey with many wins to his name, though it is doubtful he was given much credit for the wins during his lifetime. Today, though much has changed for the better, there is still plenty of work to be done in racing and society as a whole. Though it is important to keep in mind that amazing things can happen when a long shot, someone who has been told they aren't supposed to win, pours their heart and soul into the task at hand.
Thigh bone connected to the shoulder bone connected to the leg bone, the leg bone connected to the foot bone.
The leg bone connected to the foot bone is a humorous reminder of how things are connected and dependent upon each other. But all humor aside, the health of your horse's muscles and bones are key to his overall health and performance. At Omega Alpha Equine, they know just how important your horse's entire musculoskeletal system is to his health and happiness, so they offer a variety of different all-natural liquid supplements. Omega Alpha Equine, all-natural supplements based on science to help all of your horse's connected parts stay healthy and perform at their best. Ask for Omega Alpha Equine supplements at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, we've got our first guest, Christine Strasburger, with us, and she is from Horse Ruffles. Good morning, Christine.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. Tell us a little bit about Horse Ruffles.
Well, it is a, I make skirts, custom designed, one of a kind, beautiful creations so that horses can be beautiful and their riders can be beautiful at the same time. They're custom designed skirts that fit for horses, full circle, like flamenco style, lots of ruffles. And specifically for horses, they have waterproof lining that I have on it so that they're really durable.
Now, they're beautiful. What I'm curious is I live in Arizona, and if I put one of these on and hopped on my horse, we would then be in Texas. How does one get a horse to gently wear a giant ruffled skirt on the from the rider? I mean, it's covering their back. It goes all the way down to their tails. They're really beautiful, and I don't get it.
Well, yeah, this has been something we've experimented with in the best way to get on and off and safety and all that. And there's a couple things. Some horses, like Endo the Blind, if you've ever heard of Endo, he is a horse that is blind, and his rider Morgan takes him and rides him in all kinds of rodeo at the halftime show.
Yeah, they've been on our show, right, Jamie?
So Morgan and Endo wear one of my patriotic skirts, and so she wears it on and off the horse and gets on and off with no problem. Endo is used to it, and there's no problem at all for her. Just hike it up. You wear leggings or breeches underneath because you still got to ride it in your saddle.
So what you're saying is that if the girl on the blind horse can do it, anybody can do it. Is that
you can do it too, Jamie.
Because her blind horse doesn't see the skirt, yeah, <that's true. laughs> she's got an advantage over everybody.
That's true. See there, she has an advantage for sure. Now, what I really want to talk to you about Christine, I'm all about like celebrating women who take the time and find a niche and make something happen, fulfill a need. And you have started a business yourself. You are a veteran owned business. I don't know where the veteran is in the business. I just saw that on your website.
Oh, yeah.
And talk to me a little bit about being a woman starting a business and like with your own two hands and you're making everything. And talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, I myself am the veteran, and
thank you for your service.
I do the whole thing. It came about because I love to make beautiful things and I love horses. And who doesn't like to look beautiful on their horse? It's just kind of a fantasy thing that I thought, wow, I can create and make things that I actually enjoy. So it's not a job so much as artistic expression. And mm-hmm. I just started with one sewing machine and realized I needed more. So then I needed to get some special sewing machines. And so now I've got about 6 sewing machines, which I just purchased off Craigslist.
The problem with that is you need 6 people to run 6 sewing machines. So how's that coming?
No, what it is I have a large room with a large table and a couple accessory tables, and I have a machine set up all over the room. There's machines set up. Each one will have a different thread, and it's for a different sewing task.
Okay.
And so what it does, because these skirts use multiple, at least 2 colors to get a contrast on ruffles, most skirts. And then there's stitches, straight stitches and rolled stitches and serge stitches. So then I don't have to spend hours changing thread and restringing machines and all that. So I just have them all strung up with the different threads that I need. And then I can just move from one machine to the next according to the color and stitch that I need.
It's like you're set up in stations. See, that's so interesting. I know nothing about sewing or anything like that. My grandma knew everything about it, but I did not get that gene. So it's such an amazing skill to have. So people like, I mean, because you have skirts that are red, white, and blue, you have skirts that are different colors for different people, like barn colors, maybe. So people can like pick what they want and you'll custom make it for them.
Yeah, that's basically it, because the fabric itself costs so much. I can't have a whole bunch of random skirts lying around that nobody would really want because they're not their own colors. So I've got the couple, I keep some patriotic designs on hand, and then I have a couple that that I just love the fabric. They're fantasy skirts, like the mermaid skirt. Just so people can see, but it's basically a custom ordered costume. And here's the thing that I think is extra special. Once I make a design for somebody, that is their design. I will never make another skirt that is the same fabric and colors, as one that I have sold.
That is truly custom and exclusive.
It is truly custom and exclusive. And that's part of what I can offer because it is handmade and it is to order. So you can get your barn colors. And for instance, my sister, Julie Alonzo and Karen Hansen, they have Caballos del Corazon Andalusians. And that's her farm colors are the gold and the black and red.
Let's
and
be
so
honest.
Her skirts are those gold and black.
Let's be honest. I went to your Facebook page and I saw all those Andalusians with those big skirts. And I feel like it was unfair because now I want the horse and the skirt.
Yes, I totally get that.
These beautiful Andalusians with these flamenco skirts on. I'm like, oh my God, I want all of that.
So, yes, I know.
Good advertising, my friend. Good advertising. Well, this is cool. Facebook.com/horseruffles. You can go look at the pictures of these beautiful Andalusians. I mean, well done. You didn't pick. I have this little pony. And bless her heart, my vet says she's half mule. And she is very sweet. And her name is Precious Magic Alba Jennings. Anyway, I noticed you would not do a photo shoot with her in the skirt. Yet, you would choose the smarter of the two would be to have these big, beautiful Andalusians. So, kudos to you. Well done. It looks, the pictures are beautiful. And you did a great photo shoot. And it looks awesome. And congratulations. And thank you for your service. I think this is awesome. But what's the ballpark cost of a one-of-a-kind signed and numbered artisan designer skirt?
Well, the basic skirts are 5 ruffle skirts. And so they're priced starting at $1,200. If a person really only wanted 1 or 2 ruffles, I could make them a skirt, but it would kind of be it would be less money, but it wouldn't be nearly as fun or as beautiful.
Right.
So
right.
The 5 ruffles.
You're gonna do it. Do it.
Real. Exactly. And then what I also do is I do a 2-for-1 skirt design, which basically is a skirt with 5 ruffles and then a short overskirt that basically allows you to cover the body of the skirt with a different skirt. And so you can actually then for an extra $300 get an additional skirt so that you've got 2 options. And really you could make I could make overskirts for any color combinations you want. But it allows a person to, once you get that entry level purchase of the first skirt, that's got the lining that keeps it from being dirty and all that, you know, going through the skirt from your horse sweat and dirt. That's the big expense. Then you can kind of expand as you can.
The horse
has unique an artist. I mean, it's you're paying for the whole experience of the thing.
Please tell me it's washable, though, because the horse husband in me wants to know that.
Right, right. No, well, what it is, it's hand washable as far as depending on your fabrics, because some of the fabrics are very delicate that people choose. Delicate in that you wouldn't throw it in the washing machine, which is one reason why I started going with the waterproof breathable liner underneath, so that your horse is going to sweat. You know, you might be on the drill team or in an event where your horse is just going to be sweaty and dirty underneath. So you don't want that bleeding through. So washable, yes, but it's hand spot cleaning.
Got it.
If you had to, if you had a big mishap.
Jennifer, I'm not doing
it. If you had a big mishap, and you
I do most of the wash. I'm not hand washing it, Jennifer. You're on your own. You could do that when you're
sitting. Right, right. Yeah, yeah. And really, we've used, with Julie and Karen's horses, they've used them, and Endo, with his, she uses it multiple times, like an entire season, and she never washes it. So it's not something, because you're not going to be wearing it all
this
isn't you put it on for an event.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't get off and then muck stalls. Like,
right.
No. Well, and here's the other thing. I was going to say, you asked about how do you put it on? Most people, what we've discovered, you'll be on your horse mounted, and then you'll have somebody assist you by just handing it up to you, and they are made to slide over your head. So ideally, you have somebody hold the reins, you know, hold the horse's head, and another person hand it to you, and
easy
you put it on
boy.
While you're on the horse.
Easy boy, whoa.
So maybe need a little training, but we've really not had, you know, a horse that's comfortable to show most of the time is able to put that on without much.
It's good training, and these horses look beautiful. And congratulations on your business, and good luck with everything. Again, it's facebook.com/horseruffles. You guys go check it out and see the pictures. Christine, thank you so much
for joining us.
And good luck.
Thank you. And you can just do horseruffles.com. I've got a website also.
Okay, cool.
Okay,
cool.
Horseruffles.com. Thank you, Christine.
Thank you so much.
It used to be, I remember, Jennifer, you used to wear skirts over your breeches all the time. That was kind of a thing back when we first met at shows. Do you remember that, Jamie?
You used it to keep your breeches clean.
Yeah.
You know what?
Do you see that anymore
now?
At shows?
No. Pajama pants.
Yeah. But it was everybody skirts for a long pants. Time. You used to go buy the cheap skirts, you know, and just wear them over your breeches. And everybody wore them. Back then.
Well, that was before Walmart sold pajama pants that are stretchy for $8.
That's right. But you didn't care about getting dirty at all.
I bet Jennifer's mama made her a skirt and you put pockets
Jennifer,
in it.
Jennifer, your mom made the skirt, didn't she?
I think she made a couple of skirts.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty sure.
That's what I remembered. I remembered her mom made the skirt.
She had sewing machines lined up, too.
Yeah. She did too. Yeah, she still does, actually, have sewing machines lined up. Have you ever sewed anything in your life, Jamie?
Oh my gosh.
I didn't think so.
Dear Grandma, I wish that I would have learned. I tried to sew one thing one time and I was like, oh, you just put the thing in and I hit it and broke the needle on the sewing machine, which is apparently like not awesome. And I've never sewed again.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I don't even want to sew a button.
And you see in the auditor room, they're talking about sewing and making things and they're all crafty and stuff. And I'm thinking, oh, we are still, once again, our listeners are much more talented than we are.
Yeah, obviously there's a reason we're just sitting here doing nothing.
All right, let's take a break. Let's take a break for a song. We're gonna come back with First World Problems, and then Leslie's joining us, as she does on Mondays.
This thing is all ours. That's what I'm talking about. Everybody's got their party. think we disappeared. I got a mason jar full of something clear, so take a swig and chase it back with a beer. We got the moonlight, sipping on a good time. We're going all night, that's what I'm talking about. We got that sweet buzz, radio is cranked up. This thing is all ours, that's what I'm talking about. Everybody's got their party on. Everybody's getting till the get is gone. We got the moonlight, sipping on a good time. We're going all night, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, that's Stephanie Quayle. That's what I'm talking about. You can find all of her music at stephaniequayle.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenn the Geek, and Jamie Jennings is here. Coach Jen is here. The whole gang is here, and it is time. Do you want to explain it first for new listeners?
Yes. So we all have problems. We have equestrian problems. And if you have an equestrian problem, it is a first world problem. So that's what we decided to do, a segment called Equestrian First World Problems, where you submit, if you're an auditor, I usually post it on the auditor page, hashtag reason number 427 to be an auditor. You get to contribute to the first world problems. So these are all problems that you guys, my heart is breaking for you. These are problems you guys are having. The first one comes from Claire. Poor Claire. I couldn't ride my horse yesterday because he needed a day off after getting acupuncture and a chiropractic adjustment on Saturday.
Doesn't it make any sense that we do all of this for him and then they have to get a day off to recover from what we're doing to help him?
It's just not fair.
Like new shoes, like you can't use your horse for 3 days after they get new shoes because they're sore. Why am I putting shoes on then?
You need a better farrier is what you mean, my friend. Claire also went on to say, all of it was free because the vet's like my best friend. Now we hate you.
Yeah, everybody hates you.
Terry said, oh my God, you guys, I just got permission from a neighbor to add their beautiful trails to my rides, but it's still too cold.
You know, I read these, but when you read them, they're much funnier. It's that voice.
These girls write them. These people write these problems. I don't make them up. Kayla says, I'm going to the Caribbean in 2 weeks, but I have to make sure the horse sitter has everything, and it's stressing me out. God, planning for that vacation is awful. Ugh.
She's right, though. It is. It's kind of stressful.
That's actually true. Like, I'm freaking out right now, too. I got you, Kayla. I'm not going there, though. So, Susanna says, my non-horsey fiance is going trail riding in Sedona today on vacation, and I'm at home, and we got 3 inches of snow. I'm like, why aren't you with him? Like, come on. I need a follow up. Courtney says, I have to get a video of the awesome pony I have for sale, but the weather is making my cell phone battery die because it's too cold. Do you remember, and Jennifer can attest to this, like when you had a horse for sale, you used to have to take an ad out in the local Farmers and Consumers.
Or in the local newspaper, even in the classifieds in the back. Yes.
Or you'd have to submit an ad to the Chronicle or Equus.
It was like $10 a word, too. They charged you by the word. It was expensive.
Yeah, I remember Farmers and Consumers. I would get it. It's like this little paper. I don't know if it's just a Georgia thing. And then I would pour through the ads of horses for sale. That's like what I did.
And you had to send it in the mail with a check because they didn't take credit cards or anything. You had to send a check with it written out. And they wrote it. If you spelled anything wrong, they wrote it exactly like you spelled it out.
Yep. And now I feel like Courtney bitching about the cell phone killing, you know, the cold killing her cell phone battery, because now we just video them and like boop, it's up.
Yep.
Horse is sold.
Used to take a week to send the ad in and actually get it placed in the newspaper. Yeah.
Remember?
Yep.
Hashtag remember. Yep. Feeling old.
Those were the days of the yellow pages.
I know children listening that Glenn sounds archaic and ancient right now, but the Yellow Pages was this book.
We had to, the only place we had to advertise our farm for boarding was the Yellow Pages and the local newspaper in the classifieds.
My brother had a tutoring company that he had when he was younger and started out like after college, and he had to take out a Yellow Page ad and they misspelled the tutoring company in like two words. And he was like, who's going to hire a tutoring company? The ad is misspelled. Oh.
And you know what? They can't just go in and correct it like we do now. You have to wait till the next book comes out in a year.
See you next year. Yeah, he like tried to sue the Yellow. I was like, you got nothing.
And
like,
it wasn't cheap to be in the Yellow Pages either. It was like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, he spent like hundreds of dollars. Yeah. And poor guy. Believe it or not, Interaction, the tutoring company.
The hotel I was in Fort Lauderdale actually still had a Yellow Pages in it. And it's not very thick anymore, I gotta say. Who's paying for that?
I get super mad when they deliver it. I'm like, killing trees!
But people are still paying to be in it. I'm going, who is using it? Okay.
Amanda says, and this one I didn't see until about 2 seconds ago, I almost got the chance to maybe meet Jamie. However, I was not invited to go with my mom to her conference in Scottsdale. Amanda, let me tell you something right now. Amanda, I love you. I'd love to meet you, but I sure as hell ain't going to Scottsdale. So you come on out to the farm.
I think I'm the only one that's gotten to go to Scottsdale in the last year or two. That day.
I'm trying to think. That's it. Like,
yep.
I went to a baseball game in Scottsdale, the Giants, because Chad's like a Giants fan and their stadium for spring training is in Scottsdale. But like, that's it. I don't do Scottsdale.
No, she doesn't do Scottsdale. I don't know why. It was nice.
Something. I'm like, no. Oh my God. It's too far. It's a dang hour and 10 minutes away. And it's all the way through the city. And there's always traffic. And it's just like, then I have to get home and feed. And I there's a bubble, Glenn. There's a bubble.
You sound like an old lady. You'd realize that, right?
I am the, I know. I'm okay with it.
It sounds like a first world problem, actually.
What?
Sounds a lot like a first world problem.
It is a first world problem, but come on out, Amanda. You just Uber your way on over here, okay? All right. Robin says, I just want to buy a white perch rod, but I can't find one good enough.
She has been looking for one for a while for her business.
Oh my God, I know. Mary says, this one's for you, my friend. I just bought an F-150 and now Glenn tells me they're making them with more power and better gas mileage.
You said, when I talked about the diesels going in the F-150s, you said to me, somebody that just bought one's going to be pissed that's listening. And you were right. Apparently
so. And I think my answer was, well, that's what they get for buying an Ford anyway.
Yeah. Right.
Love you, Mary. All right. Carly says, and this is just a regular problem. Like, this is a first world problem for sure. There's only so many times I can hit the snooze button before I actually have to wake up and get ready for work. Girl, welcome to my life. Chad would be like, seriously, stop it. You're waking me up. Like, I don't hit the snooze button because I just accidentally just turned it off. So I've had to set alarms for every 3 minutes on my cell phone. You know how you can like,
you've been good lately. You haven't overslept for the show in 6 months.
Well, guess what you just did? You just jinxed it. I'm sleeping in on Wednesday. Chantel says, I have to buy myself winter riding boots now because they're on sale at Horse Lovers and they're actually in my size.
It is true. A lot of things you see on sale are not in the right size. That's true.
Yeah.
So when you do find it, you get all excited and then you go tell Chad, but I had to. They had it in my size.
It was in my size.
They never have it in my size.
It's like they paid me to take it. Okay. Oh, how much? But remember, girls, remember, how much did it cost? Oh, it was only $549. Excuse me. Just kidding. It was $220. Remember, you can always get it. Oh, okay. With that, like, oh, thank God. Yeah, I tried on a dressage saddle for Zeus and it was $6,000. And then whoa. I found one for like $1,200. And Chad's like, oh my God, buy two.
Did you find one?
Kim
saddle?
We're still working on it.
Oh, okay.
Still working on it. Kimberly says, I wanted to get something from Starbucks on my way to get work done, but I had my horse trailer attached and I couldn't fit through the drive-thru. Anytime you mention horse and Starbucks and it's a first world problem, it's a really good one.
And we've seen the pictures occasionally of people who think they can get their trailer through the drive-thru.
You can't.
It never goes well.
I can barely get my diesel through. I'm like Austin Powers and the golf cart trying to turn that thing in through the... Back forward.
There's a fast food Chinese place. Everybody probably knows what it is here in the East Coast. And we went the one day, and the whole drive-thru, it had an overhang at the drive-thru. The whole overhang of the drive-thru had been completely smashed, and we were kind of wondering if it was a horse person. Actually, if it was a trailer that took it out.
If you think you can take your horse trailer through a drive-thru, I'm worried about your horses.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
Me too.
And then finally, Lisa has kind of an extended one. This is a long one. I hate the crazy temperature drops because now I have to blanket the pasture horses during my PM feeding shift, and we have a draft horse that was an 88 heavy turnout with a hood and a 5'2". And
oh my God,
so
the thing must weigh 50 pounds.
88 heavy turnout with a hood on a draft horse. I couldn't do it. I'd be like, somebody else has to come out here and give me a leg up.
Must weigh 50 pounds.
5'2" sister. Well, what? Isn't she in Alaska? Yeah.
Yeah. You wouldn't be able to put that on.
You know that it's crazy cold if you're having to blanket a draft horse. Yes. Like, shouldn't a draft horse, like, aren't they kind of born for that kind of weather? Call me crazy. I feel like that's something that should be, like, you know,
I'm impressed easy. They make them that big. They didn't used to make them that big, but I guess with all the warm bloods now, they make blankets that big. That's big.
I get it.
Well, when we had the draft horse people on the other day, she said all her blankets are 90s.
Oh my God. See, Lisa, you got it easy.
90s. Can you believe that? That's crazy. All right. Any more?
That's
it. Last one. Good. Very good. Thank you, everybody, for submitting your first world problems. We feel for all of you, and our heart is broken.
I'm so sorry, yes, guys.
We're sorry. We're sorry that you had to go through all of that and that you'll be suffering this week. But you know who isn't sorry?
Did she get her Starbucks? Like, I'm dying to know, did she get her Starbucks? Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah,
I mean, you need a coffee.
That's right.
Probably cold.
Well, you know who else is with us this morning, and she doesn't have any first world problems because her life is perfect there in Tennessee. And that is Leslie Wiley. Hi, Leslie.
Good morning.
Good morning. Your life is perfect, isn't it? You have that husband of yours, husband of the year, your pony who never causes any trouble, the weather's perfect in Tennessee. Everything's good.
Everything's pretty good. Yeah. The weather could be better. It's a little chilly. It's a little chilly.
Well, Leslie joins us for new listeners. Leslie joins us from Horse Nation Eventing Nation every Monday for the last, seems like 20 years she's been doing this.
Yep. We've been friends for 62 years, Glenn.
Yep. She just won't leave. She keeps coming back every Monday. Well, do you ever wake up on a Monday and think, why am I still doing that show? Be honest.
No, are you kidding me? It's super fun. It's like it's like a tradition.
It is off my week.
I'd be lost without it.
You wouldn't know what day it was. You'd still think it was Sunday.
It's like trying to kick a methadone addiction, Glenn. She just can't. She gets shaky.
I just start calling in anyway. Hey, Glenn. What you doing? Oh, you're on the show. Oh, that's what a coincidence.
I did have one guest a while back that I thought didn't want to do the show anymore, so I stopped asking, and then I heard the other day they were really mad they weren't asked to do the show anymore, and I was like, I thought you didn't want to do the show anymore, but oh well.
You know what? Whoever that is, they should improve their attitude.
Well, I was just going to say it was Jamie, but she keeps coming back too, so, you know, she won't leave either. So we're talking about a couple of different things. Let's start with the electronic logging devices thing. Okay, so last week I did this whole thing, thanks to Kristen, your Kristen at Horse Nation, on the new electronic tracking device mandate and how that's causing all the horse people to have to, you know, get truck driver licenses and get their trucks registered, and they have to put this electronic thing in the track, and they can only drive so many hours a day. We went through all of that, right? Mm-hmm. And then they extended it for 90 days. We don't have to get it till March now. Is that the deal?
Yeah, they have sort of postponed it until March 18th. But there's still, I'd say there's still movement to have it not apply to the horse folks. There's a change.org petition that you can go sign if you are not feeling this mandate, which really, it doesn't make a ton of sense. I get it maybe it's just not when you've got a live animal behind you in a trailer, it doesn't make sense to like a mandatory 10-hour break. You'd never get for a long trip. You'd have to, lay. It's not like we can just pull off the side of the road,
Like, hey guys, you know what? We'll see you guys in the morning.
Yeah. Right. Hang out back there. Be good.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's not cool for horses.
At the truck stop with all the trucks buzzing by and, all the noise and everything. Yeah, they love that, horses.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Super calm.
Yeah, they love that.
Yeah.
Well, so now so you really do think there's a chance that they might exempt? I know that they got a lot of crap. Right.
Yeah. And I think the reason why the mandate's been pushed off for 90 days in the first place was in response to a petition last September from the American Farm Bureau, the American Horse Council, and some other livestock organizations. So maybe, if we keep making a stink about it, then...
Because what it doesn't take into account, the little box that says you're over your 12 hours or whatever, what it doesn't take into account is if you switch drivers. It doesn't take that into account. It's just tracking how long the truck is driving in that period of time. So, and of course, we don't want people driving 24 hours in a row either. I mean, that's bad.
Sure.
But it doesn't take that into account. And usually if you're going on long trips, you have multiple drivers.
Right.
Yeah. So, that's the problem with rules that are set black and white is they don't account for the gray. And that's part of the gray.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and you're right. You would have to plan a stop at a farm. You would have to plan farm stops. There's no other way. You're not going to leave them in the truck. The worst time we ever saw, I don't know if you guys ever seen this, we were stuck coming back from, this was years ago, we were stuck coming back on Route 95 in North Carolina during a major ice storm. We were coming back from Disney, actually, back home to the farm, and there was a major ice storm. We were stuck at a hotel. We said when we saw 20th car go off the road and into a tree, we were going to pull over on 95. We counted the 20th car that went off the road into a tree, and we pulled over and we got a hotel. We were in that hotel for 4 days until the ice melted because they didn't have any salt or anything. And wow. There was a guy with two horses in a trailer stuck at the same hotel. Now, there was ice. The parking lot was ice, solid ice. He could not. He had to keep those horses in that trailer for 4 days. And fortunately, a local farmer, they got word out, the front desk guy got word out, and he brought a tractor out because nobody could drive. It was too icy. He brought a tractor out with hay, and they had hay. That's how they got hay to those horses. Were stuck in that trailer. He couldn't get them out. It was too icy.
Yeah.
You're stressing me out right now. I am like, my palms are sweaty and my armpits are sweaty.
They all survived. Everybody was okay in the end.
So, we can't handle stories like that because we put ourselves right in it as horse women and like, oh my God.
It was hard to watch. I mean, we were there for the 4 days. It was hard to watch.
So, Leslie, tell us something bright and sunshiny.
Bright and sunshiny. Princess was great. We had a clinic actually all weekend with Sinead Halpin, who's a four-star rider and world equestrian gameser, and she's a pony whisperer herself. She's got a two-star pony named Forest Nymph, and so Forest Nymph, and so that was really cool to talk to someone who's and get a sort of a consultation from someone who's competed at a pony at the two-star level, like the top of the upper level. So and so my sort of closing question to her was like how. When do the jumps start looking smaller? Like I'm riding up to these jumps, they're like in my face, they're taller than, they're like looming over us if we, when we get up close to them. And she's like, you don't, she's like, there's some times that I still close my eyes on Forest Nymph when we get up to something. And she's just like, we're going to bank it. I close my eyes and then we're on the other side. So, So, like, okay, well, that's real reassuring.
This isn't helping Jamie's sweaty palms at all right now.
Seriously? Like, Sinead Halpin closes her eyes? By the way, I was with Holly Bennett over the weekend watching her clinic. So that's cool. You're also doing a clinic. It must be clinic season for these guys. That's cool. Oh, my God. She, talk about pretty. She's really pretty.
She's so pretty. I was so floored by her. She is so articulate, so focused. She really took an interest in getting to know, sort of, it wasn't a one size fits all sort of clinic. She just was really interested in each partnership that she was working with, and the exercises were great. And bless her heart, she was out there. It didn't get out of the 20s all weekend.
Whoa.
And she was out there all day long and never complained once. So
we were so hot. It was like 84 and sunny. It was like really hot. So here's the thing did she have anything quirky? Because Holly Bennett, she actually said something that I'd never heard of before ever. And maybe this is a Buck Davidson thing because she trains with Buck. One of the kids was coming up to an upbank. She kind of volunteered and taught the pony club here. And one of the kids was coming up to the upbank. And I guess the kid clucked 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know what happens to my students when they cluck? She's like, if you cluck once in a dressage test, you get 2 points. If you cluck twice, you get 6 points added. If you cluck 3 times, you get eliminated. She goes, if any of my students cluck ever, 15 push-ups. And she made a child get off and do push-ups at the end of the day.
Oh, my goodness.
She's hardcore. And she's like, clucking is for emergencies. Add leg. Like, teach your horse what leg is. And I was like, dude, she's so hardcore. would be in trouble. I'd be sore from all the push-ups because I'm a clucker.
Were you sore after? Were you sore the next day, Leslie?
Sore?
Yeah. Did she make you work hard enough? No?
No.
Leslie Wiley is a spider monkey on that pony every day. She can't be sore. Dude, give me a break. She rode a horse in Mongolia for 25 miles at a gallop.
Yeah, she's still sore from that.
She's sore from that, maybe. But
she still has scars.
Oh, man. No, well, I didn't have to do any push-ups, so that probably helped my case. I'd probably be sore if I had to do some push-ups, but...
Well, I got to tell you, yeah. Kristen wrote another story on Horse Nation that all of us can relate to. The six types of riders you meet on the trail. And she just nailed these. And it's so funny because Jennifer's been doing some trail riding down here and she comes home and tells me these stories of the people on the trail ride. And it's all six of these. It's all six of these. So let's go through them, okay? And this is the first one. And you see one of these on every trail ride. And that's the Yahoo. Mm-hmm. That's the guy, it's usually a guy for some reason, I don't know why, but that's the guy who just wants to run off, who just wants to take off at a dead run and leave everybody behind, and then turn around and run back at everybody. It's that guy, the Yahoo.
I love what Maria writes. She says, this person wants to take their horse for a long ride off a short cliff. The scarier, the better.
Why they're riding with everybody else, I don't know, because they're usually not. They're, you know,
Then you've got the greenie. And I have a story like the greenie control freak. A friend of ours who is a fighter pilot, he also mountain bike rides. And around here in Sedona, there's a lot of shared trails between bike riders and horses. And he's like, you ride horses. I got to ask you a question. So when I come by, I always stop the bike and I let the horse go by. I stop the bike. I get off to the side. Well, this lady yelled at me for standing there with my bike and I didn't know what else to do. And so he's like, when somebody yells at me and I've already pulled off to the side, what do I do? What do I say? And I go, you look at her and you say, train your horse.
What is the poor guy supposed to do? He stopped his bike. Supposed to dig a hole and jump in it? What?
Wow.
I don't know what else to say. I was like, that's what I'd say.
That's the most considerate biker ever right there.
Yeah.
It's become a big problem down here on the Greenway because they paved a trail on the Greenway now. So now the horseback riders have to deal with bicyclists going 80 miles an hour and on the crosses and stuff. So it's been a huge argument down here and become a big problem. You live in Eastern Tennessee. You must have some great trail riding there.
We have great trail rides.
Yeah,
we really do. Even at the farm, we have great trails and the Smokies. We've got some national parks nearby. So,
okay. So then the next one is one of those that if you don't think there's one of these on in your group going out trail riding, you're it. And that's the control freak. The person that just tries to control everything that happens on the trail ride. And as I said, if you don't think there's one of those in your group, you're probably
it's you.
It. Yes.
It's
you. Because the control freak never realizes that either.
No.
But they dictate everything. You know, when to stop the bathroom, when to eat, when to do everything is the control freak. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not that any of us would know anything about that.
I love the next one, Glenn, the husband or wife. Yes. This person is drug along by their equine obsessed life partner. Basically. You've trail ridden on group trails because Jennifer wanted
to. Done that. Chad has done that. Has Tommy ever had been forced to do that with you?
Yep, he has.
And did it go well?
It goes well.
Yeah, said by the horse wife.
All twice. Both times that it's happened.
So. Said by the horse wife. Yep. How about
this? Long legs. He can always just like put his feet down and like stop, like, you know, Fred Flintstone.
Fred Flintstone style.
Don't worry about him. Yeah.
That's why I took up driving. I could still go along, but I didn't have to worry about riding. No. The solo rider, the person who's had enough drama in his life for five people and is over it. Jennifer.
This is me. Jennifer?
Yep. What?
This is me.
Where?
She would much rather ride alone than ever have to ride with anyone else ever again. She would rather risk being bucked off a cliff and left for dead in the middle of nowhere without a cell phone than ride with someone else for safety's sake. This is me. If I get to the barn and I'm like, I need to go for a trail ride for mental health reasons, I need to go on a need to go solo. Like, don't get in my way. Don't stand in my path. I'm putting on my headphones, and me and Princess are going to, you know, we're getting in the zone of quiet, a complete escape from everyone. So, yep. That's a, yeah.
I think there is two kinds of people. You and Jennifer are a lot alike. I don't know. Do you like to ride alone, or do you you are always going out with people though, Jamie?
I do. We go on, you know, a lot of the farm field rides. I'd rather do that with people. I'm trying to decide what person I am, because you've got the Yahoo, the greenie, the control freak, the husband or wife, the solo rider, and then Miss Accident Prone. Mm-hmm. I tend to be more accident prone, but not as bad as they put in here. Like, I haven't had, you know, knock on wood, the helicopter ride yet, or twice, as they put in there. Mm-hmm. But I'm also kind of the Yahoo. Mm-hmm. But I'm not like a dangerous Yahoo. So then I don't know.
I kind of, you know, if I was going to say, I'd say a little bit on the, I wouldn't say control freak, but I would say leader.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of like to lead the way.
That's true. I do. Well, but, I'm usually with kids.
But
on
I
my
would,
horses.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, but that's also your personality. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't say control freak. There needs to be a seventh, and that's the natural born leader.
I'm the Yahoo control freak accident prone.
There you go. You also had an article over on Horse Nation. This was written by Biz. We did her story earlier. By the way, Jamie, was that the first time you heard the story?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it was good, huh? Appropriate for Martin Luther King Day, too. Mm-hmm. But she also writes for Horse Nation, and she did a movie review of Albion, The Enchanted Stallion. And God, it just, every movie review you read about a movie that, like this, involves horses is all the same.
The dressage saddle I'm trying right now is Albion, the White Stallion.
Oh, yeah?
The saddle is an Albion. What is that's a movie? Is it sponsored by the saddle company?
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah, this sounds fascinating. Actually, it is a little different than just your normal horse movie, I think, because this girl, she's like, life isn't fair. Well, one morning she wakes up, there's a beautiful black Frisian stallion on her doorstep, tacked up, no rider in sight. So she does what any, you know, self-respecting, 12-year-old kid, horse crazy girl's
giddy
gonna
up.
Do. And yep, giddy up. And well, she falls off. Surprise.
Big surprise.
And I think the rest of her, I think the entire rest of the movie seems like the best concussion ever. Like, it sounds amazing. She ends up in this mystical land of Albion. You know, she's on it. Everything's, there's like giant mushrooms and like, it's this big fantasy land.
Is this for real? Like, this is a thing?
This is a thing. And and then she's on this, you know, she's so, but the funny thing about this is there's actually legit actors in it. It's not released to big screens. It's available on Netflix and YouTube, for purchase, but, there's like, you got John Cleese, Richard Kine, Jennifer Morrison, Deborah Messing. How
Grace from Will and Grace.
Yeah. And so this is Biz's take on that. It kind of felt like someone on the production crew was owed some serious favors, because I can't imagine any of them needed the work that badly to be in this bonkers B, you know, or what, a D-list film.
I love what she says here. While sets often incorporate gaudy accessories like giant fake mushrooms, and I thought maybe they were doing something else with the mushrooms, and that's how this movie came about. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. It looks pretty. It looks like very. They've got a lot of CGI stuff going on, but and the cinematography seems all right, cool enough, professional. It's not like somebody just made a movie and with their iPhone or something, but still, Biz agrees that it was very confused. There were many points along the way that she was like, she said, I found myself muttering, what the heck is going on?
She did say, I suspect that a 7 or 8 year old Biz would have gone nuts over this movie. So maybe that's the target audience.
Yeah. When you don't, logic is only, second priority to just like horses.
If you have to think hard about it, it's probably not your movie.
Yeah. No.
So I was ready for you to say that, what's his name that's in every movie that we've talked about several times, Glenn? Julia Roberts' brother, Eric Roberts.
Oh, yes.
I was waiting for you to go, Eric Roberts is in it. Eric Roberts is in the movie. We actually counted, and he's had like 427 bit parts in movies. He's like in every movie. So I was waiting for that, but apparently not. This looks absolutely terrible. Like somebody lost a bet. Like Deborah Messing lost a bet, and they're like, sorry, you have to be in it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I just looked up just to be sure Eric Roberts was still working after his 480th movie. He is in, he is in, I literally can't count, it must be 30 movies that have been released in 2018.
That's coming up.
At
That's
least 30 movies yet. Listed. I can't count. There's so many in 2018. Wow. And he's already listed in 4 movies for 2019. There's a guy who knows how to get work. I want his agent.
Yeah.
Right?
He's going at it.
But then again, when you look at the parts he gets, he's a Roman guard in Pontius Pilate. Okay, well, not so good, right?
Terrible movies.
Yeah, I mean, terrible he's in... let's see if we've heard any of these movies. Beverly Hills Bandits, Pontius Pilate, The Not-So-Good Samaritan, Inferno by Dante, The Bobby Roberts Project. Anybody? Jump in. Okay,
I was on I went to Bumblebee, Arizona, where they like have really cool trail riding, and I took a bunch of kids, and they were filming. They're like, oh, they're on break right now, but this is a really big movie production. And I was like, really? They're like, yeah, there's celebrities in it and everything. And I was like, well, who? And they go, it's starring Eric Roberts. And I was like, like I had crazy laugh. Like, oh God.
Oh man.
And if you don't know who Eric Roberts is, look him up. You'll see his face and you'll know exactly who he is because he's been in 450 movies. So
listen, I am really looking forward to the Immortal Wars coming out this next year.
Wow. Anybody steal Justice, Billboard, Frank and Ava? Nothing.
# Speedball. Hello.
Yeah. Deborah Messing, though, this whole Deborah Messing thing, it just is throwing me for a loop because I'm like, she's still, I don't know. She shouldn't be on.
Do you think they do favors for people? Then that's how they end up in these movies, the Deborah Messings of the world. It's they slept with the guy, they dated him for a while and now he's a director and he calls in a favor.
Yeah. Somebody is blackmailing them.
So there was a movie in 2017 that Eric Roberts was in, and it's called Get Naked. And the new movie poster is a naked lady with X's over her nipples, and she's holding a shotgun.
That sounds like something we would have seen in the drive-in movies in like the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Like Get Naked, I have to click on that weird softcore thing going on. And click, nope, that's definitely not softcore anything.
How do we get on Eric Roberts? We always end up on Eric Roberts.
It always comes back to Eric Roberts, dude.
Wow. All paths lead to Eric Roberts.
All right, Leslie, are you coming back next week or have you had enough Eric Roberts talk?
Nope, I'll be here next week.
Okay, good. We'll
try it. Your homework is to watch the movie from 2015 called Sicilian Vampire starring Eric Roberts.
Okay.
Yes, could you please do that and give us a complete movie review by next week? You know what? We challenge you to watch any Eric Roberts movie. Anyone. Pick one.
it can't do it. It can't find them.
No, they're not even on Netflix. All right. Thank you, Leslie. Horsenation.com, eventingnation.com, one of the other thousandnations.com. You find her over there. We'll see.
Is this even a word? It's a movie from 2013 called Abstraction. That's not a word. We need to work on that. Abstraction. Like abstract, but abstraction. That's not a word. That can't be a word.
It is now. Thank you, Leslie.
Okay. Okay, bye, guys.
Bye.
We have a fun job. All right, that's it for today. We're going to be back tomorrow. What is tomorrow? Tomorrow is Certified Horsemanship Association will be here, and then Jamie will be back on Wednesday. Don't forget to get your ads in. We have some great prizes this month, so get your ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com and send those in today.
There's a movie called The Night Never Sleeps. What? That doesn't even make sense. N-I-G-H-T, not the knight.
I blame you. Do you see? He's been in 30 movies in 2018.
This Heal Thyself from 2012. Gotta see that one.
I feel bad for him because he's still taking parts. He's been in all these movies for 30 years, and he's still taking parts as a soldier in a Roman movie.
Have you seen the beautiful 2010 one called Hunt to Kill? No, I was hunting to have fun. Start the end.
We'll see everybody.
Baited or gelled. Crimes of the Past.